money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know, I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Welcome to the show where Dave and Reb talks about money. And today we have guests with us, which we will introduce. The guests have been on the show before, and that's all I'm going to tell you right now. So, woohoo! Surprise.
And we're actually going to pronounce their name properly this
time.
We have an
apology right up front, a correction right up front, but we'll do some housekeeping first, as you know. Finding the podcast. If you're new to the podcast, you have lots of choice. We've talked about all kinds of topics. This year, I'm excited because we're doing a little bit of focus on people's financial stories. And the guests we have today, little heads up, they shared their story recently with us, and they're back in the studio with us to have a further conversation because we had so much fun the first time. I think this let me get my lips working there. Trinity Family Wealth is the sponsor of today's show. And we are, if you are looking at your future and you're going, I don't know how to manage it. I know that God wants me to. Then the good folks at Trinity Family Wealth will be able to help you walk through. And they don't just walk through kind of some investment decisions. They look at the whole thing.
And your legacy plan.
They look at legacy plan. They look at wealth generation. They look at all kinds of, essentially, and this is why we love Tim and his team. They have multi-dimensional, if I can call it that, perspectives on future and family wealth. So reach out to Trinity Family Wealth
And Tim Jenkins has been on the show, and he's going to be on in the weeks ahead. So that'll be great. So I want to just, before we...
Are we going to introduce
him? I'm getting there. I'm introducing, sorry. Diane and Ian, welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having us back.
Can you just pronounce your name so I don't mess it up?
Kerr.
It's spelled K-E-R-R, but it is because you come from Ireland.
Originally.
Yeah. And
the name is Scottish as well.
Oh, it's a Scottish name.
And that's why it is properly pronounced.
And we got it all wrong in the last show, so I'm very glad. I know. You guys are very gracious.
It's Kerr rather than Kerr.
Right.
Yeah. And we said in the first show that we lived in Berlin for a while, so while we were in Germany, I was Hair Care.
Did anybody stumble over that?
No, they got right, but it was like, it had a funny ring to it.
Yes, certainly. Well, we're welcome you back. We're going to have a conversation today around discerning God's direction in your life and how do we do that in our finances. And after hearing your story, I just wanted to have this conversation with you because it is a conversation I don't think in 8 years of podcasting we have actually talked about on this show in regards to money.
We haven't done a show specifically about this for sure. We talk about this in all kinds of ways. But
It's a show that I want to have because often when folks are on with us, we'll hear, well, God told me, or God directed me, or we knew this was God's direction. And sometimes we hear it in the work we do at More Than Enough. And from all the outside elements, we think, is God really saying this to you? And we wanted to have a show about how to discern it. How do you know? How do you know it's not your will versus God's will? So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I wanted to read verses from Jeremiah 33 because there's a verse in there that our kids learned at VBS a few years ago, actually. But I've known my whole life. And I want to start at verse 1 because the Lord comes to Jeremiah and Jeremiah is shut up in the court of a prison. And the Lord comes and says, and it says in verse 2, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know, which you do not know. And then he goes into information telling Jeremiah some things about the houses of the city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which is interesting that it's about houses, because your story, part of your great story you shared has been about house and dwellings, which have been pulled down. The houses of Judah and the kings were pulled down to fortify the siege mounds and the sword. And then the Lord goes into, but they're going to come back. We're going to rebuild it. And it's this message of hope, which is interesting because Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, and he didn't always have good news to share. But here he is in prison, and he gets this word that if you call to me, I will answer you and tell you great and in another version, unsearchable things that you do not know. Yeah. And this is a word, you know, that was to Jeremiah and Israel, but I think we see this in our lives as believers in 2025, that we call to the Lord and he is with us. He's present with us by his Holy Spirit, and he's not leaving us without direction. But our great question today is, how do we know when God's saying, do this or do that? Like, or we say, well, God told me this and he didn't show up, and now I'm just not going to trust him anymore. And we hear those kinds of things happening. People are disappointed or full of sorrow. Or, you know, my brother passed away suddenly in a car accident 23 years ago, and that's devastating. And you think, well, is God in that story? You know, we're not going to those kind of big questions today, but those are kinds of circumstances our lives are filled with. And I want to just talk together about, how do we discern God's voice? Is he trustworthy? And it kind of carries off from your sharing of your provision story, that he is trustworthy. So I kind of open that the floor with this topic, not light and fluffy by any means. But how do you folks, how do you, David, because I'll include you in this.
How do you
practically seek the Lord's direction, particularly in finances? Yeah. How do you do that?
So I'll start with the core principle, and then Diane can talk about what we do in specifics.
Sure.
So God says, and I love the title of your podcast and business and stuff, more than enough, right? God says, you will have what you need, and you will have more than enough, so you can be generous on every occasion, right? And so putting him first is the first big financial decision, right? And I remember in reading the book The Wealthy Barber, it's back a bit, but you know, they had the principle in that, pay yourself first.
Right.
So we switched that to pay God first. And what we meant by that was, invest in the kingdom first.
Right.
And be generous on every occasion, because God will provide you to be generous on every occasion. We can unpack a little bit more. But after you've done that, if you're not doing that, then anything else you're doing about your finances is on a questionable foundation, right? So invest in the kingdom first, put him first, and know that, and learn to trust that. And then you can come to, well, what do you do with what the rest of it is, right? And share about sort of the approach.
So we have basically four principles that we follow. We pray about it, we check it against scripture, we check with friends, and we ask ourselves, are we at peace about it? And
can you repeat those again?
Yeah. We pray about it, and we pray about it a lot. We check, does it line up with scripture? Because God never goes contrary to his word. We ask advice from trusted friends and other believers. Doesn't mean we necessarily, they're not making the decision for us. We're just taking their counsel.
Right.
And then we decide whether we feel at peace about it. And a lot of our decisions, I would say, the big one for us moving to Canada in the first place was, we weren't even well, we were hearing a lot of people prayed over at different stages in our lives before we came to this decision. We were never those people. We were the people that all our friends thought, oh, Ian and Diane, they will stay in Northern Ireland. Everybody else was getting these calls to go out here and there to the mission field, not us. We were firmly planted, thought we were going to be there. And then we were part of a church plant in Belfast. And we'd been involved in that for a long time. And everything was going well. The church was up and running. We were seeing new converts. We were seeing people being discipled. But there was something that both of us felt just unsettled about. And I think what I've learned is that when things are going well, the Holy Spirit will shake you up a little bit. Right. And when things are not going well, the Holy Spirit will give you peace. And those are two ways that you know that God is directing you.
So you were feeling the unsettled.
Yes.
And what did you do with that? Did you both feel that way separately and then start talking about it?
Yeah. So we didn't know what that meant, but we thought maybe we need a vacation. We're feeling a bit unsettled. We thought maybe we need a vacation. So we didn't have passports. We'd never been out of the country. So we applied for passports. And shortly after that, I got approached about a job offer to move to Canada. And we thought, oh, well, that's pretty radical. We were thinking of a vacation in Spain. And, you know, this is not about moving to Canada. But we went through that process. We prayed about it. We talked to people about it. We searched scripture about it. And
we set aside a day for fasting. Should we do it?
And you know what? Dan was like, you know what? We should do this. At least people voted most likely not to leave. You know, like, we should do this.
Actually, the day we set aside to pray and fast, that was the day the passports came back.
Yeah, interesting.
And Dan was like, okay, we need to move. And I didn't get the job.
And
Well, we prayed about it so much that, and it's like one of those things, you know, whenever you're thinking about something that suddenly everywhere you see this. Yeah. I mean, we were seeing Canada everywhere. There was nowhere that the Canadian flag was not coming up on TV. And we'd prayed about it. We'd done everything that we'd talked about and we prayed about it. Does it line up with scripture? We checked with friends and had other people praying about it for us.
But then you didn't get the job.
And he didn't get the job. Yeah. And part of what instituted this was his boss had come and said that the bosses in the company had been asked to put forward names of any engineers because Canada needed engineers, right?
Right.
And so Ian said to me, look, you know, we have a choice here. We can, if I just apply for any other job in Canada as an engineer, I'll probably get it if they're looking for engineers. But we'll not know if that was God.
Right.
So, you know, if you really want me to do that, I can do that. But we decided, we prayed about it, and we felt, no, we need to know that if we're going to make that sort of a choice, this is God. So we decided to set it aside and we just prayed and let it go.
Right. Well, it took Diane a while to let it go.
Because
what she's not saying was she was actually very upset. She was like, this isn't right. I am so convinced. I'm so at peace about this. The password, that she was really upset.
Yep.
And she was like, how dare they not give you the job? This is God's will.
I'm glad to hear that part of the story. Yeah.
And there was ranting.
There was ranting.
But not at God. It was like, why aren't they lining up with God's will? And then out of the blue, they said, well, we got this other job. You know, it's not the same promotion, but it's another job. And we felt, okay, that's the real answer, was this other job, not the first one. And that's happened a few times, right? You know, we've known the direction, but the specifics sort themselves out a little bit later. And it turned out I took that job and then we had young kids, we had four young kids at the time. And we still have four kids, they're just not young. but they, like, if I'd taken the first job, the stress level and moving country and dealing with four young kids would have been so much harder.
And you were trying to do a master's at the same time.
And so God eased us in,
right?
You know, and then I did get the original job 18 months later.
Okay, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So God's timing was better than our timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's so much in there.
But God's timing is always better than our timing, I think, Diane.
Always.
The point about it doesn't contradict scripture. I mean, you need to to know that it doesn't contradict scripture, you either need to know it yourself really well, or you need to know people who know it, right? So that's why they advise
that. And there's no verse that says, Diane and Ian go to Canada. Like, no. It's not like it's that kind of direct writing on the wall, although we'd like that sometimes. What was that scripture searching like for you? Or what is that like when you're, you know, do we build a house? Do we not build a house? Do we move to Kingston? Do we not? Like, what is that like when you look through scripture?
Well, for me at that stage, God was giving me the story of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And it was, there'd been, so our pastor in church had given a prophetic word, and he wasn't saying that he felt it, well, he wasn't saying it was for us. He was saying, I feel God is saying this, so I'm going to say it. And it was that somebody in the congregation had to make a very important decision. I could cry over this.
Of course.
And it's okay.
All you had to do was say yes. Mm-hmm. And that was all we were being asked to do, was to say yes.
Wow.
And he would take care of the rest. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He did.
And you knew and that day, you were, you're still feeling it.
Still feel it.
Yes.
Yeah. And, wow. And like Abraham's story, you know, like called to move on.
Yep.
You know, and just go to a land that he didn't know. So.
Yeah, and leave his family, and
And actually, one of things that had been told to me as a counseling thing was about marking God's milestones.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, make a point of noting when God has said something, because you'll usually find that there's a flow with it, there's a direction with it. And so when we were coming to the decision about do we or do we not go to Berlin, my reaction was to go back to the story of Abraham. I reread Abraham, and he went back in the direction he'd come from, and I thought, okay, this is not out of God's plan. This is not that I shouldn't, you know, well, why would we go back that direction? Why would we cross the ocean again that way?
Yes.
But it followed the story that God, I felt really God had already given us.
Wow. I was just thinking about when we left the family business, and some of the parallels, it was the verse in Abraham.
In Hebrews.
Oh my goodness. Hebrews 11, where it says that Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Yeah. And that was the verse for us, because when he left the family business automotive tech, and then came to More Than Enough. And the other part you talked about, this, was it stones you were saying?
Those milestones.
For Dave, it was, because I kind of knew before he did that we were leaving the family business, but he said, Reb, I need to know. I can't rest on you. I need to know as a marker and place that marker, so that when I have hard days ahead, I look back at the marker and say, this is what God's asked.
Yeah.
And we still can look back at that place and that season and that story and say, no, this is where we were supposed to be walking. Yeah.
And I think there's some things there, you know, when we talk about the, I'll say, observations of how God works, you know, not set in stone, but we look through scripture and what do we see? We see God saying, oh, you know, here, Jacob puts up an altar to commemorate the stairway to heaven. And God is constantly saying, listen, celebrate this moment, celebrate this moment, celebrate this moment.
Yeah.
Put these.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, when we look at those same things, and I think it's extremely important as we are journeying through to pause and take those moments to say, okay, this, not only is there a milestone or a marker stone behind me last year or the year before, whatever that is, but I'm standing at one, and I want to pause here and say, okay, I've been praying about this thing. We're talking about discerning the will of the Father and how that plays out practically, and say, I'm here now. We're making a decision. And that story of Abraham is just resonating with my spirit. I feel peace, yeah. and I'm seeing that the Lord has done this before, and he's saying to me, I'll do it again. And that's very personal to you, Diane, in the end. Like, those are personal. And I think that's one of the things when we talk about that we can take to pause long enough to say, here I am. This is the marker, the milestone. Yeah.
But there's the story that, I don't know if it's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and Samuel says to Israel, it was over the fighting with the Philistines. He takes the Ebenezer stone, mm-hmm. and the Ebenezer stone, the Ebenezer word means, thus far the Lord has helped us. Mm-hmm. And they set up this stone. And I love that story because we can say, no matter where listeners are at today, even in the hard spaces, and you can still see, if you look, ask the Lord to open your eyes to show you how he's been leading you, even when your faith, for those of you who are feeling like their trust and faith is weak, you said it last time, Ian, that, you know, God makes up for all of our our stupidity, but also our lack of hearing, or when we suffer the consequences of other people's decisions.
Yes.
And you know, there are a lot of men and women who are left to raise their kids alone, you know, with low income and working hard, and it feels like there isn't enough. But we want it. We're talking about this so that you can be encouraged go to God in prayer, lament and weep over the things that are happening. You said you were ranting, like, this is not, you know, he already knows how we're feeling. So we can tell him as we seek God's direction, how this situation feels, but then press through and come to the other side and ask the Lord to show you what you can't see.
And you mentioned about having faith, and like, you know, once you've done something or said something, you find yourself in a situation and you then say, okay, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do this. If nothing immediately happens and then you just say, well, I guess God didn't show up, or I guess I got it wrong. Well, you've just nullified your faith. You have to kind of believe, you do have to believe in the meantime, which is the meantime, that he is going to show up. And then the job was like that, right? So it was, okay, this job we're taking wasn't the job we expected, but then his will turns out to be better, right? But you don't suddenly say, well, okay, we got it wrong.
Yeah. You know, so there's an element of waiting.
There is. I think if you're following, if you're trusting that you're following God's direction, it doesn't mean that everything else works out and everything is smooth in between. You know, but I think that's why you need the milestones, because and remembering, you know, and God tells us, as you said, to mark and celebrate.
He knows what we need, and we definitely need those.
Because we need to be able to remind ourselves, no, God said this. Because we will hit the times that you don't feel like things are going your way. You will hit the bad days. You will have the times that you sort of think, was this worth it? Are you sure you heard from God, right?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh,
because isn't that what Satan started with?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure that's what God really said?
I feel.
And you need to know. And when you know, you just stand. Sometimes God says, you know, when you can't do anything else, you stand. And you stand on God's word.
Ephesians 6, when you've done all, stand.
I think particularly with finances, since they're so tangible, it is, you are pulled to your circumstances all the time. Right?
Yes.
They're right in your face. And trying to get your eyes off your circumstances and onto God with finances, I think, is an ongoing learning. And especially on anybody who's listening who's in a difficult financial situation, like, I can't imagine that you're facing, your circumstances are right there, and you go, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? Right, you know, so easy to get worried and afraid about how you're going to feed your kids, what you're going to do. But then it's the faith discipline is to say, even so, God said this.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And then as you accumulate the victories, to remember them, and each one of those helps you have more faith for the next one.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think this, I've thought about the finance thing and why it's such a struggle is because it's our, like, when we think about try to live by faith, but then finances are so blunt.
Yeah.
And they're right there.
Like you, David yeah. said before, I don't know when you said that, but they're black and white. It's yeah. not like there's a gray area. You either have money in the bank or you don't. You yeah. either have a hydro yeah. bill that you can't pay. Yeah. And how does, yeah. yeah, which is, I want to just, I'm hoping in my prayer that people are encouraged to do the hard thing, because to yeah. set the circumstance, you know, repenting means to turn, yeah. right? To turn our faces from the way we're going back to God, and yeah. to set aside the time, because you set aside time to fast and pray. You prayed, and you prayed yeah. together. Yeah. And sometimes praying together as a couple is really hard for it Christians. Is. Like yes. that's a nut. It is. I mean, it's been an area for us, David and I, that we've had to grow and overcome, because yeah. someone said, well, the enemy doesn't want you praying together. Are you exactly. kidding? So, you know, that praying, it does take an intentional turning aside. Yeah. Even if you're a mom, a single mom, and you're tired out, even if it's for half an hour, even if you can pull yourself into a space with God for 30 minutes, because your time is so constrained between work and children. Like, I know, I'm just going to, John Wesley's mom, she homeschooled a whole bunch of them, and they had like very little money, very little room. And they would know she was praying when she threw her apron over her head, and they did not mess with her. She had that apron over her head and she was praying. If you don't know her story, look her up, because she's the mother of the Wesleyan denomination, well, really, because she mothered John and I can't remember her brother's name. Anyway,
with four young kids at home, I did not get a lot of time for quiet times.
No.
So I learned to pray while I was brushing my teeth, when I was doing the dishes, when I was doing the laundry. And that was good time.
Yeah. yeah. And it can be good time. So yeah. that's, I guess I just, the moms are on my heart today. Yeah. The single moms are on my heart today. Partially because I've been talking.
Go ahead
them.
And pray then.
Yeah. Father, so I thank you for the cares. And I thank you for their story and the encouragement and the maturity and their faith and seeking you. And Lord, for all the single moms and single dads who are working hard, and I pray that you would open understanding and eyes to see and ears to hear, to see you, that in the midst of laundry and work, they can call on you. And as it said, you said to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you have not known. And we count on this promise from you to overshadow us as believers, and that you would encourage us today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you once again, Ian and Diane, for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Story, thank you. Your yeah. wisdom. yeah, it's great.
Beautiful.
Just quick shout out to Trinity Family Wealth. If you have some questions about what the future might look like financially or otherwise, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.